I'm a victor. And don't think in terms of being victimized. I'm a victor. I'm a survivor. I am resilient. If I fall down, I get back up. Because down is not my state. Walk uprightly. Because you're meant to walk. You're meant to stand. If you see a dog walking on two legs, you say that's abnormal. That's not normal for that dog to be doing that. Well, it's abnormal for you to be on all fours. That's not your stance. You're supposed to walk uprightly.
Amen. A miracle is something that needs to be normal for us. In the natural, miracles are things that happen and we say, wow, I wasn't expecting that to happen. It's a miracle. But the Word of God says to us that God has made us partakers of His divine nature. And I don't see God sitting down and something happens and He says, wow, that's a miracle. No, miracles are normal. Some would say miracles are normal for God. It is part of His Himself. God's experiences, no matter how amazing they are normal for Him. He expects it to be that way. And I believe God is calling us to that place where our expectation is like God's expectation. And that it's a normative lifestyle for you and I. I know that the things that we talk about in this house based on the Word of God sometimes sound so out there. That's not real. I know it's possible, but that's not life. If we think as carnal-minded people, natural people, then it is absolutely true. But don't go tell Jesus that He can't walk on water. For Him, it was normal. You say, how do you know it was normal? He sent the disciples away. He says, go on the ship. And they got in their boat and they were sailing over to the other side. And there were no boats, no nothing on this side. And when it was time for Him to go to the other side, He just took a walk. Oh, somebody said, that's a miracle. And Jesus is not saying that. He's absolutely not saying that. He has 5,000 men, hungry men, and all He has is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And He has the effrontery and the to say, sit them down. We're going to feed all of them. Do you think Jesus was saying, it's going to be a miracle. I'm going to do a miracle today. No, it was normal. So He wasn't sweating it. He's going to raise a Lazarus from the dead. He says, Father, I'm praying But it's because of them. Because of these ones that are standing by. I give you thanks. You've already heard me. Lazarus, come forth. You know, if he had just made a mistake and said, "Dead man, come forth," all the dead people, there would have been a stampede of people coming out of graves all over the place. One day he's going to say that. The word of God must be received as an absolute word. And for me to receive the word of God as absolute, I have to be renewed in the spirit of my mind. So my cry to God today is, God, renew me in the spirit of my mind, that I don't think like a carnal-minded person, but that my thoughts are your thoughts, and your thoughts are my thoughts. Help me to align. See, the reason we come, yes, it's to worship God, but it is to hear the word of God so that we are changed into that same image. During this Feast of Tabernacles, my focus has been on the vessels in the tabernacle. We talked about the brazen altar. We talked about the laver. We talked about the candlestick. And yesterday we started talking about the showbread. And the showbread is called Lehem Panim, bread of faces. And the Lord says that we need to behold him and that we'll be changed into the same glory. And not only are we changed to the same glory, it says that we're going to be changed from glory to glory. This is what God must do for us. The first time the word table is used, it is used concerning this table of showbread in the scripture. And the table of showbread was 3 feet long, 1.5 feet wide. I don't know why the Lord is taking me this way, because this is not part of the message at all. But there's a reason for it. It was 1.5 feet wide and 2.75 feet high. It was made out of shittim wood or acacia. This is a wood that is not corruptible. It doesn't rot. And then it is overlaid with gold. The shittim wood represents the humanity of Jesus. And the gold represents his divinity. So, divinity covering the natural. Are you with me so far? God is saying, I want to cover you. But that word, lehem panim, meaning the bread of faces, also means the bread of display. And it also means the bread of his presence. The display means that God wants to do a work of display. As we look at his word, we are being changed into the same image of that word. That we become the, just like Jesus Christ became the manifestation of the word of God in the earth. That God is saying, I want you to become the manifestation of the word. Not just a speaker of the word, but a manifestation that you are actually living out the word. That change must take place in all of our lives. God wants us to change. We're going through this transformation. This is what God wants for you and for me. That when men see us, they don't say, oh, I saw an angel. That they say, I saw God. I saw God because the word of God was present, was displayed. It's interesting, it's called shewbread or showbread. Showbread means that which is shown. But shew, that is past tense. Are we together? God is saying, that which is already done is being made manifest. God has already accomplished everything he needs to accomplish in me and through me. It is already done. It's a done thing. And so God's word says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. There are things that we are expecting, things that we want to lock into. And God says, the connection point is faith. And I believe that since we are saved by what? Are we saved? By grace. Through faith. That in this year, that God has basically just sanctified as a time of grace, 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 grace. Whether you are using the Jewish calendar, or not. It's all going to be grace. That God's empowering grace will bring us, pull us out of that which is darkness. For he commanded light to come out of darkness. That the God who is light in our lives will command us to come out of that dark place. I don't know what that dark place is. For you or for me or for us as a congregation, as a people. But from that darkness, we must come out. Somebody shout hallelujah. God will be God in my life. Will you say that with me? God will be God in my life. Now say this. I will manifest the glory of God that is in me this year, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, answer my prayer. Praise God. We are not here about houses and about cars and clothes. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness and every other thing that the Gentiles, that the heathen, the pagan, the people that do not know God are seeking and pursuing after. He says, I'm going to add that to you. You're not going to have to struggle for it. I'm just going, it is, you know, in Nigeria we say jara. bonus. Extra. I'm going to give you that extra. Solomon, what do you want? I want to have the wisdom to lead your people. And God says, since you didn't ask me for money and for stuff, I'm going to give you that. but I cannot give you that without giving you money. Because God wants to be my defense. And the defense of God, the word of God says, is wisdom and money. Both wisdom and money is defined as the glory of God. For the first time the word glory is used in the scriptures in Genesis, it had to do with wealth. For Laban's children said, it is from the glory of our father that you've gotten all this wealth. All this glory is because of what you have accumulated. First time. I would think God will use the first use of the word glory to be something else. Maybe some halo. No, it associated with something very material. Why? Why? Does he say it is because of what our Father has accumulated that you have gotten this glory? Why? God wants you and I to understand that as we seek His glory, every other thing shall be added to us. And He will add it to us from every area where we have demonstrated love, care, served. We will experience the goodness of God. Do you receive that? Now, recognizing that, we must also recognize that there is a real enemy that wants to shortchange us. In Psalm 62, verse 11, the word of God says, God had spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. The word of God says it is God who gives us the what? Power. To get wealth. Once have I heard it spoken. Twice have I heard it declared that power belongeth unto God. But what is happening in this particular passage, I'm going to go through it systematically in a moment, is that there is a real enemy that is always trying to stop us from accomplishing that which God has ordained already. That you don't have something in your hand does not mean that God has not provided it. It's just that there's an enemy that's trying to shortchange you, that's trying to cause delays, cause hindrances, cause stumblings, so that you don't have what God has promised or God has already sent in your direction. Daniel experienced that. But this day, the enemy that thinks that you are going to fail is going to have the shock of his life. Because when they thought that you are finished, God will do an explosive work of grace and favor in your life. Somebody shout hallelujah. In Samuel 105 and verse 37, Samuel 105 and verse 37, we read these powerful words. God is bringing the people of Israel out of Egypt. And he's going to take them to the promised land. He had them kill the sacrificial lamb of the Passover had the blood sprinkled on the doorpost and the lintel. And the word of God says he brought them forth. We sang the song, he brought us out. He brought me out this morning. Well, he brought them forth also with what? Silver and gold. He did not just save them from Egypt. He brought them out with silver and with gold. And then it says, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. He healed them all. One of the powerful experiences of believers as we share in communion together is that we must receive the healing grace of God in our lives, in our minds, in our emotions, in our physical bodies, that everything about us receives the impartation of God's divine healing power. What God has already accomplished, I must experience. I must be a testimony of that which God has done. I must be a walking miracle in the eyes of man, because I'm walking in the normal life of God. Somebody shout hallelujah. He brought them out. And as he brought them out, the Bible says Egypt was glad that they departed. You know, when we live here, the devil will celebrate that we are gone, because you know why? We will be trouble to the devil. I don't know if you heard me. I said we will be trouble to the devil. I remember about 20 something years ago, oh, more than that, this is 2025, so this has got to be about 30 years ago. I was at a conference with Papa. And as I stood there praying, I heard the Lord say, I am raising up terrorists that are going to terrorize the forces of darkness. So I blotted it out. I said, what on earth was that? I heard it. And I hear God saying the same thing again right now. That is raising up. We're not talking about terrorists that carry bombs and guns and knives and whatever else. I'm talking about spiritual terrorists that will terrorize the powers of darkness and let them know their time is rounding up. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is going to use you and I. A few weeks ago, we talked about Samson. And we said about Samson that Samson was not some buffed up guy. You know, everybody looks at him and says, wow, this guy has been shooting up some drugs. No, the guy was like Pee Wee Herman. But when the power of God came upon him, this skinny dude carries a whole gate of his city and walks up the hill with it. This one man, from a place of death, tearing a lion apart and coming back to say, did I do that? Who did that? Did I do it? And when he got there, he saw honey coming out of the place of death. That God is going to bring you and I from the place where it seems like nothing good can come out. What should come out of a dead lion but maggots? Rottenness. But that's not what God intends. Is I'm going to bring sweetness out of this. A man brings a sacrifice to the Lord, represented by an angel. The angel touches the rock, and out of the rock, fire came out. Fire should not be inside rocks, but it was there. Strike this rock. You're thirsty? Strike this rock. He strikes it. Water comes out. Oh, how does water come out of a rock? Well, what God is saying to you and to me is this. I am going to do something new. It's all by my grace. And you are going to move in faith. And when you are moving in faith, it's not because you are hyper-thinking, positive. Let me think positive. Let me think positive. Let me think positive. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. No, no, no. It's just going to be normal. Just going to be normal. You're not going to struggle to do it. You're just going to be one with God, because God is not thinking, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? No, no. He just does what God does. And God is calling you and I to that place, that anointed place, where we will do the things of God the way God does it. Because God lives in here. Praise the Lord. God lives in here. I don't live here. God lives here. You say, well, Why would you say that? Because the word of God already tells me that. It says, I was crucified with him. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. It is Christ, the anointed one, that lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by my faith. Is that what it says? No, it says, by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Did he give himself for you? Then you must have the faith of God. Hallelujah. You must have the faith of God. Someone say, I have the faith of God operating inside of me. There is no way I'm going to lose. I will always win. For one with God is a majority. It doesn't matter how many people are against you. You're going to win. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter how many people try to curse you. Nobody can curse that which God has blessed. I remember many years ago, the Lord said something to me. He said, before the enemy attacks you, he thinks about something that was good about you. That's why he attacks. He said, so I want you to start saying, let every good thought the enemy thought about me today, I say amen to that. And every agenda that he has against me because of the goodness of God in my life, I annul, I cancel it. Praise the Lord. So, the word of God says, if any two of you shall agree concerning anything, you got the devil agreeing with you already that you are blessed. Well, come on. Don't make me work hard. The devil already thinks that you are blessed. That's why he's attacking you. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the only reason he comes. Thieves don't go trying to steal nothing. Killers don't try to kill dead things. If the enemy is trying to kill you, it's because you are alive. But praise the Lord, you died already and you rose again from the dead and you will die no more. Somebody shout hallelujah. There's nothing the devil has that is going to succeed in your life. Because God has already reason inside of you. Somebody shout hallelujah. You are more than a conqueror. Praise the Lord. God has winning on his mind for me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In Exodus chapter 14 and verse 14, the word of God tells us about the fact that God is the one who is going to fight for us. It says, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall do what? Hold your peace. Hold your peace. The Lord is going to fight for you. Hold your peace. You know, so many times we want to fight with words. And God says, chill. Just guess what? The Lord Jesus Christ did the same thing. He shut his mouth. He was at peace. When he opened his mouth, he wanted to say the wrong things. Like, can we do a plan B? If it is possible, can you please take this cup away from me? And then he catches himself. My prayer is that every one of us will catch ourselves when we're trying to say the wrong thing. Hold on. He came here to die for us. He came here to shed his blood. He set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. He knew what his assignment was. He knew that he was going to die for sinners. He knew that he was going to change our lives. He knew it. But when it came to the time for him to do it, fear came until he started stressing so much he was sweating blood. Blood vessels were breaking. Don't tell me he enjoyed going there. When you're going through challenges in life, you don't enjoy it. I sure don't. But this one thing I do know, that in spite of the challenges, that God is greater in me than he that is in the world. It's not fun that you are sick and puking. It's not fun when the enemy comes through the voice of a doctor and says, I give you 4 months, you're going to die. What are you going to do? It's not fun to hear, oh, your son, your daughter is in jail. For what? I didn't raise him that way. I didn't raise her that way. It's not fun when things are happening that don't sound right. But this one thing I do know, that there is the capacity in God for us to take back and say, this battle is not mine. This battle is the Lord's. God, I pushed this hand your way. You can make this bad hand become a winning hand. Somebody shout hallelujah. So he says, you're not going to need to fight. The Lord is going to fight for you. And you just be at peace. And all I want you to say, Moses, to the people of God, is just keep on going forward. And that's what I say to you today. Go forward. Go forward. As mighty warriors, go forward. God is your helper. God is your strength. Don't step back. Don't give room to the devil in any way, shape, or form. You say, how do I give room to the devil? When you are angry and you sin because of unforgiveness. Angry people give room to the devil to do evil. Shut the enemy down. Somebody shout hallelujah. In Psalm 35 and verse 1. Psalm 35 and verse 1. Psalmist cries out, he says, plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Whether those that strive with you are people, demons, or things. He says, take up my case. Fight against them that fight against me. Why? The enemies that you and I face, they are too strong for us in the natural. But they are not too strong for God. Do hand join hand to come against you. They will stumble and they will fall. Praise the Lord. I send this word ahead of you. Through the years that are coming, that God will go before you, and that every enemy, everything that is contrary to his will for your life, be cut off in the mighty name of Jesus. That as you come, just like the Israelites came and all they saw were dead bodies everywhere, and then they saw that some jewelry were hanging off and there were wallets, and they checked the wallets and there was bread inside of it, lots of money, that you are going to take spoils in the years to come in the mighty name of Jesus, that God will bring you to the place of supernatural abundance, that you will be greatly supplied because God is fighting for you. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody say, God is fighting for me and I am taking spoils. Hallelujah. In Psalm 62, where we started from, beginning to read from verse 1, it says, truly, my soul waited upon God. From him, my God, cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. For a child of God, you have to be very clear about that. Is he only the only rock? I remember many years ago, I was in California. It was the year 1980. I was seeking the face of God, and all of a sudden I heard the voice of the Lord. He says to me, you have another God. I said, I rebuke you, Satan. I said, I'm not Satan. I'm the Lord your God. And I'm saying that you have another God. I said, I don't have another God. What are you talking about? So I have a few questions for you. If you have this particular problem and you need finances to solve it, how are you going to solve it? I said, I'll write home and ask my dad for money. Okay. What if you have this other problem like this, and the Bible describes a problem for me? He said, what will you do? I said, I'll call my dad. He said, didn't I say you have another God? Then it dawned on me. Oops. My dad was my God. The other God. Because he had become my supply and supplier. I had to repent before God. I am so thankful today that God took me through that experience. Why? Because he was going to send Mama and I to Canada. And at the time we came to Canada, there was no possibility of receiving exchange because the economy of my country collapsed. And not only did it collapse as it is presently, but at that time, you could not do any foreign exchange. And I'm here in Canada with Mama. And we are not allowed to work. You can't work at your school like students can do today. You can't do any kind of work, period. And I'm here. How am I going to live? I had to look to God. And we saw miracle after miracle after miracle of the provisions of God. Just the other day, I drove by where we used to live, on Dufferin. I said, this is where I used to live, without money. You know the things God did for us? I remember the time that we were paying $19 or so for a four-bedroom house. The normal rent was almost $300 at that time, not today. Wow, that if you get a $300 rent today, that would be a big deal. Wow, how things have changed since. This is just, what, 81, 82, 83? 83. We were in that situation. We didn't ask for our rent to be reduced. We just talked to God. And we went to make payment one day, and the manager of the Manitoba Housing Corporation, whatever it is called, says, I'm reducing your rent to $19. So we said, I pay $19. We're paying $19. We would have still been staying there. But we started the beginnings of a church, and the lawyers were part of that starting church, and said, our pastors cannot be living in there. It's such a dangerous place. And it was such a dangerous place because we will turn on the news and we'll find out that just a few apartments behind us, somebody was killed. And we were living in there. People will bring food, bring money, bring whatever, leave it in front of our door. We're at school, we come back, and everything is still intact. God was fighting for us. He was providing for us in the wildest way. Ways that we cannot explain. But he was God, and he is still God today. So I'm driving past there and saying, God, you brought me from here. I don't have any trouble. All I need is to just trust you. Have faith in God. And that's what I say to you today. Don't look at your natural circumstance and think that that defines you. Neither your wealth or lack defines you. The definition of your life, that which defines you, must only be God. Let the name of Hashem, the living God, rest on your life. Somebody shout hallelujah. He says, God, I need you. And he says to the enemy, how long will ye imagine mischief against the man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a barren wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence shall you be. You know, that last part of the statement, as a barren wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence shall ye be, can also be twisted the other way to mean that you see me like a leaning, bowing wall, and as a tottering fence. You see me like I'm weak, but that's not what I see. I see you as that fence that is about to fall, and that tottering fence. I see you. No. You're looking at me and thinking that I'm like a grasshopper. No. I don't see that. I see you as a grasshopper. You got to flip the table on the enemy. The enemy sees you defeated. No. You're saying, look, here, take these glasses and say correctly. You are the one that is finished. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The enemy has the audacity to come because he thinks you're weak and incapable. But the word of God already says he brought them out, and there was not one feeble or weak person in their midst. The enemy sees you and says, you're poor and you're broke and you're defeated and you are going to be the dust of the earth. And you say, God brought me out with silver and with gold. I am head and not tail. I am above and not beneath. Somebody shout hallelujah. The word of God says they only consult to cast him down from his excellency. Oh, I love that. From his excellency. In essence, I'm in this place of excellency. This honorable place. And you thinking you're going to cast me down? You celebrating in your lies. You delight in lies. But my delight is in the Lord, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And that God delights in me. He says, they bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Have you ever been around people like that? They look at you and they're smiling, but inside of them, they are, you know, doing all kinds of crazy stuff. Yeah, I'm killing you. You don't know it. I'm punching you. You don't know it. Lying devils. Whenever I punch, you're punching yourself. Hallelujah. I'm not the one going down. You are. And you will never come up. I already went down in Jesus Christ and I came up. Hallelujah. And down I will never go again. Praise the Lord. They curse inwardly. But there's no act of divination that the enemy is going to project that is going to expose me to his agenda. Why? My soul waits upon God, for my expectation is from him, not from my enemies. Hallelujah. I'm expecting surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. The God I'm talking about, he only is my rock and my salvation. I have no other God. He is my what? Defense. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I am rooted and grounded in the love of God. And the fullness of God dwells inside of me. In God is my salvation and my glory. Praise the Lord. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. And he, as a man of God, having said that all about himself, now says to everyone around him, because when God blesses you, the blessing is not meant just to be for you, it is meant to impact the lives of other people. So he declares, trust in him at all times. Trust in him some of the time. Trust in him during the good times. He says, all times. Good, bad, ugly, whatever it is. Trust God. Trust God when you've been pressured by the armies of Pharaoh. You thought you've left Egypt. And here comes Pharaoh, blasting towards you, and you stuck. There's a Red Sea ahead of you. You can't even cross. You know, there was, I think it was the movie Ten Commandments, an old one. Pharaoh is coming, and he says, the God of the Hebrews is a poor general. They're stuck. Oh, and God is saying, I will show you poor general. Moses, be at peace. What's that in your hand? It's a rod. Stretch it. And he stretches it. And God, the glory of God that was leading them, did you know that this glory of God was there before the tabernacle? Because the word of God says the fire of God moves and he separates the Hebrews, the Jews, from the army of Pharaoh. And the Jews had light and darkness. The flip side of it was upon Pharaoh and his army. So they couldn't do anything. Meanwhile, the rod was out there. And during the night hours, God parted the Red Sea. You know, the craziness and the foolishness of man. In fact, one of the profs that Mama had at University of Winnipeg said, it's not the Red Sea, and says the waters were just ankle deep. And Mama says to the professor, he says, wow, that's amazing. And he says, what's amazing? Pharaoh's army drowned. In a knee deep, in an ankle deep. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter where it's ankle deep. The enemy is going to drown in it. You are going to cross over. The word of God says, in dry land. And when they are all crossed over, God says, oops. And they all drowned. They were all buried. And praise and worship started on the other side. Miriam with her tambourine, hallelujah, began to worship God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I declare in the mighty name of Jesus that every enemy is coming down.
Somebody say, up, up, Jesus. Down, down, Satan. Up, up, Jesus. Down, down, Satan. We're going to sing it again at the end of this service. It is time to celebrate the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity, or lighter than breath. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. Let me put it this way. God says, don't trust in oppressing somebody else because you think that when you oppress them, you can become higher than them. See, don't trust in that. And don't become vain in robbery, robbing other people, robbing God. Say, how do you rob God? The word of God says, in your tithes and in your offerings, you rob me. He says, if riches increase, set not your heart upon them, because it's not about things. You need God to arise in your life. It says, God had spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. The power for your well-being, for your protection, for your provision, the power belongs to God. It is not in the hands of the enemy. He took the keys of death and grave off of the hands of Satan. And we learned this during this feast, that because we are together one with God, when Jesus died on the cross, you died with him. When he was buried, you were buried with him. When he went to hell, you went to hell with him. That's why you're not going to go back there. You've been there already. Hallelujah. When he took the keys of death and grave from the devil, you were there also grabbing those keys. So the keys of your life, the keys of your health, the keys of your prosperity is no longer in the hands of the devil. The devil doesn't have anything to do with the timings of God in your life. He cannot open any doors because you've got the keys that open every door. The Bible says he has given to you and to me the keys of the kingdom. Somebody shout hallelujah. The gates of hell shall not prevail over you. The governments of hell shall not prevail over you. You are head and not tail. Somebody celebrate the goodness of God. Somebody shout hallelujah unto the Most High God. Oh, our God is a good God. Amen. All of this is all because of his mercy. I was driving down, going somewhere the other day, and I just kept on saying to the Lord, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Be merciful to me. Grant me grace. Favor me. Because it all comes from him. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. For thou renderest to every man according to his work. Be merciful to me. Somebody shout hallelujah. With that, I'll ask you to rise with me. Tonight we're going to have a very special guest. I know the Lord had spoken to me that there's going to be two speakers. That are going to be outside. And
one of them, while I was talking to him, says, I want to participate. I said, would you like to be a speaker? Sure. You know it's going to be very early in the morning? Sure. And 2 days ago, we received a powerful word all the way from Israel. A prophetic declaration over our lives. Tonight, we're going to have the second one. I don't want you to miss it. But right now, I just want you to just lift up your hands to the Lord. And just say with me, Lord, have mercy. I receive your protection. I receive your provision. I receive your peace. I receive your prosperity. I receive your power. Have mercy and grant me grace to live in purity before you. Thank you. I receive it now, and I walk in this fullness in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This time, I encourage you now to honor God with your giving. During this feast, the Lord says to us that we should not come empty-handed. I encourage you to be radical in your giving. Give with great expectation. Let God speak over your seed. His word says, if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap also sparingly. You determine the result. He says, if you sow bountifully, you will also reap bountifully. You determine that. Well, the result of our giving is not just so that we have and so that we can pride ourselves in what we have. No, on the contrary, our faith is not in those resources. Our faith is in the living God, that He will speak to us so that we distribute what He has given to us as generous people. Beyond your tithing and your offering, I believe it is God's divine will for us to be generous. So be generous to God and be generous to those who are around you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now let us come together. Children, as you come in, back, come in quietly. We're going to share together in communion. And then we're going to sing that powerful song that we sang earlier today. Actually, we're going to do a mix of that one, Up, Up, Jesus, Down, Down, Satan. And then we're going to do Cast Your Burdens. Amen? Can we do that together? It's possible? All right. If you do not have the elements of communion, please raise your hand so that you can be served. We encourage you when you come in to the service every Sunday morning to make certain that you go to the table and take the elements. We thank God for the dear Son that has for years supplied us with these elements of communion from his business. And we thank God for him and we bless him. And we ask that the grace of God will abound towards him, that God will direct him and fight for him. Amen. This is the body of the Lord. It was broken for us. As we take off this body and we eat, he says, do it in remembrance of me. When the children of Israel had communion in the Passover, the word of God says, God brought them out. And there was not one weak or feeble person in their midst. And he brought them out with silver and gold. As he did then, may he, the God of the now, same yesterday, today, and forever, found in Hebrews 13:8, may he do the same thing for you and I. Take and eat.
Thank you for the blood of Jesus.
Is speaking better things.
Greater things.
Mighty things.
For my life.
I am healthy.
I am wealthy.
I am blessed.
I am strong.
In Jesus' name. Take and drink.
We'll come back and greet those that are on Zoom. But right now, let's just end with a song.
Let God arise and his enemies be scattered.
those that are